I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. Welcome to Minute 39 of Season 6 of Movie Room Minute, the daily podcast where we take a Capra-esque journey through the 1946 classic, It's a Wonderful Life, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Richard Kirkham, the current Shepherd of the Lamb cast and the owner of the website Kirkham, a Movie a Day. Welcome back to the show, Richard.
This is a very interesting situation here. Glad to be with you, Rob.
Well, just pick the one in the middle. Glad to have you back, Richard. Minute 39 begins with Uncle Billy showing how drunk and ecstatic he is at the same time, and ends with George just taking a puff. So yesterday we basically ended the episode with this huge party going on at the Bailey household. And we already see that Uncle Billy is completely drunk. So maybe this is like the end of the party. Like, it wasn't clear yesterday whether that was the beginning of the party or the end of the party. I guess, you know, they said everyone go outside and we'll take a picture. And then maybe it's towards the end of the party, I guess.
It's definitely the end of the party for Uncle Billy, because right. I don't think he's going to be able to stay awake much longer.
Probably not. And you know, the first thing we hear at the beginning of this minute is, you know, we talked yesterday about the photograph that Eustace is taking, and we hear him scream out, "Hey, Joe!" And I just find it really funny because I have no idea who Joe is. We don't know who that character is. We don't know who he's referring to or anything. Yeah. Just some background character saying, "Hey, Joe." That's all he says. And then Uncle Billy walks over to George and goes, "Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I feel so good. I could spit in Potter's eye. I think I will. I think I will." George goes, "What'd you say, huh? Maybe I'd better go home. Where's my hat? Where's my..." And then, so first of all, you know, I just... This is my favorite scene with Uncle Billy. You know, because, I mean, Thomas Mitchell does a great job with this character, you know, keeping him someone who we can, you know, feel endearing towards, but we also know the fact that he is just a complete mess.
Yeah.
You know, we'll find out in a few weeks. He even forgets to go to his own nephew's wedding. You know, I'm still a little surprised. Well, I mean, we'll talk about it when we get there, but I'm surprised that nobody even reminded him.
I don't think that he forgot. Well, that's another episode, another minute.
It's okay. You can say what you think about it. You don't think he forgot?
My memory was that he had to keep the office open.
No, but he looked at his fingers because he had tied a string there. But you're right. We'll get there in a few weeks. And you know, so the whole idea here is that we can see that alcohol affects Uncle Billy in some strange ways.
Well, you know what? That is true, but there's a little bit of foreshadowing going on here, because it's not just the alcohol, it's his ebullient attitude. Here he is celebrating the marriage of his nephew. He's so happy that Ruth and Harry have gotten together. He could, you know, the drinking thing helps it. They could spit in his eye, you know, not to step on your episode several weeks from now, but it's the same kind of attitude he has when he loses track of the money in the bank, you know.
Sure.
And here he loses track of his hat. He loses track of which way he's going. He trips over the trash can. It's just what we assume is a trash can. We get to know that Uncle Billy can be easily distracted by the good things that are going on in the world, and also by alcohol.
Yes, that's true. Again, I mean, the fact that he's hallucinating means that he drank a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no question about that.
He's definitely inebriated.
Yes, that is very true. And you know, the George just like laughs the whole time as this whole conversation is going on. You know, and I wonder if it's just that he's so happy to see his uncle in a state of I don't know if it's euphoria, but he sees him. You know, he's not downtrodden. He's very happy and you know about things that are going on, and I think that pleases him, which goes back to George's nature. You know, George wants to help others. So if he sees, you know, how happy his uncle is, so that's good too.
It is.
You know,
and it sets up another one of those dramatic moments later on when, you know, George kind of turns on Billy. You know, it's like you say, oh, how could this possibly happen? They had such a good connection and relationship, and George was always happy that Uncle Billy was, you know, maybe a little scattered, and he was bemused by that, and suddenly it's not amusing anymore, you know, but that's, like I said, down the road.
Okay, but that's also out of despair.
Oh, yeah, no, obviously.
So it sort of makes sense at that point, you know.
Well, George has a lot of moments of despair, but this is not one of them until, you know, he starts thinking about things a little bit, and and Uncle Billy has moments, I don't know if he's bipolar, but he's got moments where he is really up and then also moments where he's really down.
Correct. That's very true.
Of course, that's their life.
Correct. And isn't it a wonderful way?
It is. It is.
You know, and I mean, I love the fact that you know, I know that later in the movie, as you mentioned, we'll see him in a similar type of situation. But I mean, the alcohol has really given him courage. You know, the fact that he's talking here about the fact of that he's going to go spit in Potter's eye, you know, and that's what he really wants to do. I mean, they, you know, the claim that when someone is inebriated, their true self comes out, you know, because you're no longer.
Liquid courage is the old phrase.
Correct. You know, where the idea is that something that you're holding yourself back from, when you're inebriated, you can't hold yourself back anymore. You know, that type of thing. So, I mean, it's nice to hear that's what, you know, that's what he wants to do. Whether he actually will do it or not is a separate issue. I would actually be interested in seeing a fight like that between Uncle Billy and Mr. Potter.
Well, I think Uncle Billy could dance around Potter and land a few shots. Potter would have a hard time responding.
Yeah. Well, I'm still a firm believer that Potter is faking the fact that he's crippled. That's what I think here.
You know, because
as I mentioned, you know, last year on the movie of the month episode about this movie on the Lampcast. You know, there's just no explanation as to how Mr. Potter gets to the second floor if he's in a wheelchair. You know, things were not wheelchair access, accessible back then. So it makes me wonder. not so much to the point, but it's just a fun thing to think about. You know, like how is it possible that he gets to the... So I always have this in my mind, and I've said this numerous times over the course of the last few weeks, But you know, it reminds me of I'm assuming you've seen the movie Chaplin with Robert Downey Jr.
It's been a long time.
Okay, so there's a scene there where they're trying to get the Great Dictator edited, and they're in disguise, and they're you know, they show this particular scene in double speed, or it might even be more than double speed, but basically you have Chaplin, you know, dress up as a woman in a wheelchair, and they like rush around the whole area, you know, trying to make sure that nobody knows who it really is, and they get to a certain point where there's a step up. So you see that he just like stands up and then it steps up and then lifts up the wheelchair, to get there. So I think of Mr. Potter that way, that he gets to the end of the steps, looks both ways, nobody's looking, gets up from there. He and his servant, take the chair up a few steps. They put it back down. He sits back down, puts the blanket back over his legs, and continues with his day. So who knows? I guess we're just gonna have to wait and see. Actually, we'll never know if he really was or isn't. But
I'm not going to let it keep me up at night.
no, it doesn't keep me up at night because I find it funny. It's not something that I found a solution. So I'm not trying to, I don't have to keep stay up at night trying to think of a solution. My solution is he's faking it. Okay, there you go. And so, Uncle Billy asks for his hat, and George is still laughing because Uncle Billy has a hat on his head. He pulls it off his head and shows it to him. And like, I love how he flips it over. And then Uncle Billy looks at it and goes, "Which one's mine?" So he goes, "The one in the middle." That's right. He goes, "Oh, thank you, George. Oh boy, now look. Now, if you just point me in the right direction, would you do that, George? Right down here. Old building and loan pal. Now you just turn this way and then right straight down there. Oh, that way, huh?" And he starts walking towards the left, and we hear him sing the song "My Wild Irish Rose," and then we hear a crashing sound, which is hilarious, the whole thing. And then we hear Billy scream, "I'm all right, I'm all right." And then he continues singing, and that's the way that's the end of the dialogue for this minute. Now, do you know the little anecdote about the trash cans? Do you know the what happened when they were filming
No,
this?
no.
Okay, so that is not in the script.
Oh,
Okay,
okay.
the idea is that he points Uncle Billy in the right way, and Uncle Billy leaves. Now, apparently, as they were filming this, when he was walking, off camera, so the crew member that dropped a large tray of props, and we see that Jimmy Stewart starts laughing, and then Thomas Mitchell just improvised the line, "I'm all right, I'm okay." And Capra ended up deciding to use this in the
They kept it.
That's right, to use this in the final cut. And the stagehand that dropped things got a bonus because he was able to improve the sound of that scene. So I've always loved that anecdote, but the fact that this was not something that was planned, but it worked so perfectly.
It does. Timing is fortuitous.
That is true. And then basically Uncle Billy has left. He says he's all right, and then George is just smiling and looking again, as what I just read from IMDb. Jimmy Stewart actually was laughing at this whole thing because of the fact that it was not something that was meant to be in the plot. And we see in the background Ruth talking with Ma Bailey. We see them through the screen door, and then the shot changes, and we're now back inside of the house, and we see the two of them talking, and Harry has joined them. We can't hear what they're saying. We just see that they're getting along well, laughing, enjoying their party. And then George, just still stays outside, lights up a cigarette, and it's great how he walks towards the camera, as he's just puffing. And I mean, there's a lot of smoke,
Is this
definitely.
the only time that we see them, him smoking in the movie?
I believe so. I know up until now we haven't seen him smoke. I believe this is the only place where we see him smoke.
Interesting.
And I also love the fact that he lights up the cigarette and then just throws the match on the ground. I don't know what else he's going to do with it, but he just takes it and, this is his family's lawn. He's basically just thrown it,
Well, based on all of the old movies I've seen, that's what everybody does.
Which basically means that there's probably tons and tons of
Matchsticks, huh?
burnt matches sitting around,
Yep.
on all these Hollywood sets, because if that's what everyone did, so okay. So, yeah. And again, I like the fact that we see him in the foreground contemplating what he's going to do, even though we know what he's going to do. But in the background, we see Ma Bailey hitting it off with Ruth and Harry. Which from that perspective, it tells us that she's very pleased about the situation so far. It's probably only been a few hours since she met her new daughter-in-law. Give her time.
That's a cheerful thought.
Yes, of course. Well, again, it's a big surprise for everybody. So, but again, I like the way that the shot is placed, because it's basically right over his shoulder. Right over George's shoulder, we see the three of them in the background discussing something. So you can infer from that, I mean, it's not what's really happening, but you can infer from that, that he has this weight on his shoulder about Harry and Ruth. I guess it's another time when a director is telling us something just by how he sets up the shot, as opposed to, having to spell things out.
As the old saying goes, it's showing, not telling.
That's right. That's right. You're telling me nothing, but you're showing me everything. Do you know what movie that's from?
That sounds like it's you know what? I'm getting a feeling of, I, you know what? I know it. It's not sitting at a,
The character who says it
I
is
know
Christopher
it.
Walken.
Oh, then that's not the one that I'm thinking of. It's not the one. It'll come to me in a minute. And I'll pop in later.
Okay.
Oh, I it's The Princess Bride is what I'm thinking. The scene where Vincini and the Man in Black are having their duel, and Vincini says, "You show me everything. I already know." He knows which one has the Iocane powder in it.
Right.
That's the scene that popped into my head, and I was trying to remember. Obviously, you've got Christopher Walken, and I know Christopher Walken's not in The Princess Bride, so what's that movie?
Okay, no, what Vizzini says is, "You're trying to trick me." Oh, sorry. The man in black says, "You're trying to trick me to give me away something. It won't work." And he goes, "It has worked. You've given everything away. I know where the poison is, and make your choice. I will, and I choose. What in the world can that be?" That's the quote from there. So the one I was thinking of that I wanted to mention was Christopher Walken in the movie True Romance, which was written by Tarantino. This was actually the script that he sold in order to pay for making Reservoir Dogs. Have you ever seen True Romance?
Yes, I have.
Right.
But it's
So
been a while. I think I've only seen it once or twice.
basically, Christopher Walken plays a mafia guy, and his goons are around there, and they're interrogating Dennis Hopper's character. And what he basically says to him, he goes, "Now what we got here is a little game of show and tell. You don't want to show me nothing, but you're telling me everything. I know you know where they are, so tell me before I do some damage you won't walk away from." So that's the quote that I always think of when I think of tell. So, yeah. And then in one of the things I also found very interesting here is, there's a screen door here. So do you know the history of screen doors?
Oh, no, I don't know the history of screen doors.
Right. So, well, do you know another name for a screen door?
I just know that you're not supposed to let it slap you in the ass on the way out.
Okay. So it sometimes referred to as a storm door or a hinged screen door. And the whole idea is that it's a door that covers an exterior door. Sometimes you can use it with sliding glass and things like that. But the whole idea is that there's a screen mesh in order to block birds, insects, or any type of other airborne debris, such as leaves or seeds, from entering the premises. And but it still allows for air and light and people to be able to see out and stuff like that. Basically, they started making them after the U.S. Civil War. And usually they have like a metal type of frame with some sort of netting, in the middle in order to keep out all of these things that I just mentioned before. So no, because like it sometimes you see something in a movie and you think to yourself, did they have this back in 1932? But so apparently they did.
Yeah, well, I think screen doors have been around for a long time. I never looked at the history of the screen door. I don't live in a part of the world where people are unfamiliar with what screen doors are, so I hadn't thought about when they originated, but obviously I think your function is pretty straightforward.
Yeah, of course. It makes sense. And basically, George is just standing there once again, contemplating what he's going to do, how he's going to do it. He's definitely deep in thought as he's smoking like a chimney. So, Richard, do you have anything else you want to say about the scenes in this minute? Okay. All right. So Thursday's segment is Jimmy Stewart Thursday, where my guest will give their top five Jimmy Stewart performances. So Richard, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Okay, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to ask you a question first. What's the most unique Jimmy Stewart performance you've had mentioned so far? Because I would imagine most of these are going to be very similar to one another, but I'm wondering if there are some outliers, because I've got one outlier on my list, and I'm wondering if anybody else has had it.
Someone used American Tail 50 Goes West.
That's an outlier for sure.
Okay, Winchester 73 is on that list also.
That's pretty standard.
Most of the choices are the standard ones.
Okay. Yeah, as are mine. My number five, though, is an outlier, and there are a couple of reasons that I've included it. One is that it's one of his last film roles on screen where he is the lead in a picture. And the other, of course, is that he co-stars with Strother Martin in the picture, and that's the film Fool's Parade.
Yeah, that is
Which,
not, no one has used that here.
there you are. And Fool's Parade is a story, it's set in the Depression era also, so it's this time period. And Jimmy Stewart and Strother Martin and Kurt Russell, a very young Kurt Russell, are prisoners who have recently been paroled. And Jimmy Stewart's character has managed to accumulate some money by saving the earnings that he got while he was in prison. He was in prison a long time, and there was a savings program that was designed as an incentive for, and he's got a big chunk of money, and they're planning on opening a grocery store, the three of them. But of course, there are bankers who don't want to pay out the money. There are corrupt sheriffs who want to have access to the money themselves. There are lots of obstacles standing in front of them. And Jimmy Stewart is this one-eyed murderer who, killed somebody using dynamite years before. And he has, like I said, he's older. He's a little aggressive in the film role. He's not really the, although he's a good person in the long run, he is somebody who is capable of violence. And he's got one scene where he pops out his fake eye and holds it up. You know, if your left eye offend thee, then pluck it out. And he threatens people who are, you know, trying to rob the train that he's on at that moment. And I thought that was kind of a clever scene. And of course, it's co-stars Strother Martin and Kurt Russell, two of my favorite actors.
Oh, wow. Well, you're related to Strother Martin, aren't you?
Yeah, well, he was my mom's cousin, and he's the focus of one of my projects. So I'm trying to do a post on all of his films. I don't think I could ever find all of the TV shows he was in. He was literally in hundreds of things that sometimes his name was, you know, he wasn't even included in the credits. But there are about 50, 60 films that he was in, and I've gotten to most of the major ones. I've got a few more that I'm going to get to.
Okay, but, you have time to keep going through them.
I keep your fingers crossed that I have time. I hope to. And then number four would be The Philadelphia Story, which, of course, is the one that he won his Academy Award for. He co-stars with Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn in that film. And it's a lot of fun. He's very funny in the movie. Number three is The Shop Around the Corner, which is one of my favorite holiday films. I always like to watch it at Christmas time. I think it's a very sweet story about a love affair between two people who never really meet until the very end of the movie, although they do meet, but they don't know the other person. You know, it's like they're pen pals. And anybody who has seen You've Got Mail, The Shop Around the Corner is the inspiration for that story. Yes. Mm-hmm. I did include It's a Wonderful Life in the performances here, so that would be my number two. I think this is a terrific performance. He, you know, goes from being a young man to an older man. Obviously, he goes from a thoughtful, caring person to one who's very desperate to one who is happy to be alive and glad to celebrate it. And of course, there's a great romance in the story as well with Donna Reed. I think that this is really good. And then my top Jimmy Stewart performance would be Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, which is a political story. I think I mentioned it on an earlier show that we did. It also co-stars Claude Rains, one of my favorite character actors from the 1930s. He was in other films too later on, but I was recently talking about Claude Rains in The Invisible Man on the Lambcast, and it's a pleasure to talk about him here again. And of course, I think we mentioned the other character actor, Edward Arnold. I think he's also got a similar villainous role like he had in Meet John Doe. In this particular film.
Oh, wow. Okay. Great list. Thank you very much for that, Richard. So do you want to once again tell people where they can find Richard Kirkham?
I'm easy to locate. It's kirkhamamovieaday.com on the WordPress site, kirkhamclass.blogspot.com on the blogger site. And any time you just do a search for Kirkham A Movie A Day, my sites will come up. I'm also on the Lambcast on a weekly basis. The Lambcast is the official podcast of the Large Association of Movie Blogs, and you can find us at largeassmovieblogs.com.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Facebook, and you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So, Richard, you feel like coming back in tomorrow to finish off the week?
I'm not going to miss the last opportunity of the week. Of course, I'll be back.
All right, so until tomorrow, hot dog.
Hot dog!
I love you truly, truly dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tears.